Hare Hare Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha
Hare Hare Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha
Madhavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha
Shri Sanatan Bhattaraguna
Shri
Sanatan Bhattaraguna
Shri
Sanatan Bhattaraguna Shri Sanatan
Bhattaraguna
Hare Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha
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 Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha
Yadavaya Madhavaya
Keshavaya Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Dhinu Vikrai Shnam Nipatam Nayam Vidanti Shvara Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Siddhartha Shri Vasani Lord
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare So this is one of the principal duties of the Grihastha Ashram is to invite the sadhus into the home for harikatha, a prasad, a glass of milk. inviting the sadhus into the home. Shastra states that when the Brahmins are fed, the Lord is fed, because the Brahmins are representing the Lord. So they're sometimes compared to the mouth of the Lord. So if you feed the Brahmana, who is Lord's representative, then essentially feeding Lord. So people were very, Vedic culture were very eager to feed the Brahmanas, give them charity, etc. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha Nivedithaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. The Brahmins and cows in particular are very dear to Krishna. Brahmins because they're disseminating transcendental knowledge, whereby people are becoming freed from the repetition of birth and death. And cows, because they're Krishna's favorite animals. In the spiritual world, he's a cowherd boy. And he's taking care of his father's cows. Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows, all of them different colors and sizes and shapes, etc. So, and also here in the material world, Prabhupada sometimes called the cows, the Surabhi cows, cousins. Cousins of the Surabhi cows here. they're also worshipable because they're dear to Krishna and because they give us milk. And milk gives us a brain, because milk, hot milk, should always be served hot, hotter than it is. Hot milk nourishes the finer tissues in the brain so we can understand Vedanta, we can understand philosophy, Bhakti Vedanta, the culmination of all philosophy and Bhakti. So these things are very dear to the Lord. So if we serve that which is dear to the Lord, we become dear to the Lord. Love me, love my dog, Prabhupada used to say. So when we invite Vaishnavas in the house, it's our good fortune. Also, I learned recently that when the sadhu is fed, it diminishes the karma of the household, whatever karma is there, because householders have to do some business, and business means little lying, door to door. You have to say that this, I'm giving you a very good price for this cloth. I'm only making very small margin of profit, just enough to keep my body and soul together. Businessman has to do it, otherwise he won't sell very much. So, actually, he's making a huge profit. But so in the material world, these things are going on, and the grihastha has to make his livelihood. So sometimes a little involved in those affairs, not in a sinful way, but just going out there and dealing with materialistic people, you might catch a little bit of inauspiciousness. So, just like Govinda Charan, he just caught a cold. Just as I'm coming, he catches a cold. So going out and associating with non-devotees, even inadvertently, not desiring their association, but just having that association, there's a little contamination there. So devotees are always very mindful, very careful to always be chaito darpana marjanam, cleansing the heart. Inadvertently, not that we go out and look for that association, but being in the material world means you're going to, some contamination may be there. So therefore always purifying. The best way to purify is to chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Rama.
Cleanses the heart. The body we cleanse with soap, but the heart we cleanse with the Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound. So there's some residue of karma there. Actually, it's stated that just to chant one name of the Lord purifies one of more sinful reactions than one has accumulated in millions of lifetimes. But we're chanting and we're the heart's still contaminated, which helps us understand that verse, Vimandam Brahmatikonya Bhagavan Jeev. That living entity has been transmigrating from one universe to the next, from one species of life from one body to the next since time immemorial. You can't even calculate it, even on your Mac. I mean, your PC. You can't have it calculated. So it just shows how long we've been here, even though we are chanting. So, constant. What does Mahaprabhu say? Kirtana yad sada hari. We should constantly be chanting. Either chanting or serving the holy name by inducing others to chant. But we have to keep purifying. So, householders have this wonderful opportunity to invite the sadhus here. And by feeding them, each bite, the karma in the house, the family, the accumulated family, it's diminished. So I think that's why that tradition has come about, that when you go to a Hindu home, they keep feeding you more and more. I've experienced it over the years sometimes. Early years, we used to put a lot of weight on when we would travel in India and you know, places like South Africa where there's a lot of Indian homes, you know, because I think they understand that the more you feed, the more the heart becomes purified. Like that. So that opportunity was given to the householders, and the sadhus, they looked forward to that. They actually, the sadhus would go door to door, and they would do madhukari for their maintenance, for their food. They're only allowed four houses. Madhukari means you go to four houses, and whatever you get, that's your food for the day. So if the householders were not generous, then the sadhus would it'd be a little difficult. But generally, we've experienced, you know, even in Vrindavan, you know, in Madhukari, you get those nice rotis, hot rotis, and they put the gur on them and like that. So Krishna says, in my village, no one goes hungry. So even today, that. So now sadhus, they would go on the pretext of begging for some milk. Yes, we've come and begged for one glass of milk here. They knock on the door and they would ask for a cup of milk, although they didn't necessarily need it, but it was an excuse to come in and engage in the loving process of devotional service. Because according to Rupa Goswami, there's six exchanges of love. To exchange realizations, to hear the realizations, to exchange gifts, to give a gift, to accept a gift, and prasad. Like this, I think these are loving exchanges. So really it was all an excuse. It's not that the sadhu was coming to eat, and it wasn't necessarily that the grihasthas, you know, wanted to dump their karma on the sadhu. But it was more just loving exchanges, an opportunity to hear about the glories of the Lord. This is our main subject matters. Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this is one of the duties of the grihasthas, to give opportunity for glorification of the Lord. This way the griha, the abode, remains always pure. The difference between griha, grihastra, and grihamedi is that the grihastra, the center of the home, is serving Krishna. And the grihamedi center, their lives are based on Prabhupada says making money during the day and sex at night. This is the grihamedi life. The grihastra life is controlled sense gratification. Little sense gratification in the sense that there's some association between man and woman. Otherwise, why would there be a need for marriage? But it's all done in a controlled environment, in a religious way. And with Krishna at the center, and the sadhus would come and they would speak, and the grihasthas, they would listen like this. And also the grihasthas, they remain pure by their austerity, because that austerity is there in every ashram. Brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas, we always have to be practicing austerity. Because we've been attached for so many years, so many lifetimes, so we have to gradually become detached. So austerity is there in every ashram. Some austerity is there. What is the austerity? Austerity for the brahmacharis is living in the ashram of the guru, rising early, studying the scriptures throughout the day, going out and begging. Austerity for the sannyasis is traveling. I was speaking to a lady on the plane. She said, "You've been traveling for 35 years. How wonderful it must be." I said, "Yeah, it's wonderful, but it's also not easy." I said, Janaka Pandit said, "A cloth becomes old by leaving it out in the sun. Horse becomes old by not being used. A woman becomes old when her husband neglects her. Gentlemen, keep your wife young, give her a lot of attention. And a man becomes old by traveling." In those days it was, you know, walking through the pasture grounds and crossing the rivers, and you know, it was easy. Now it's like flying on airplanes at 35,000 feet and artificial environment and such like that. So what is the grihasthas austerity? The grihasthas austerity is sharing some of their hard-earned wealth with the brahmanas, who use it for yajna. These brahmanas, they themselves lived an austere life, but whatever funds they received, they would utilize it for the glorification of Krishna. Yajna by Vishnu. sacrifices are always meant for the pleasure of Vishnu, not the demigods, but Vishnu, Yajna by Vishnu. So those are costly affairs. And the Brahmins would receive donations and they would use this, and the whole society would benefit. The Lord says, in the beginning I sent forth generations of men and demigods and blessed them that by the performance of the sacrifice all desirable things will be bestowed upon them. So the Grihastras would give dhan, they would give charity, and that's not easy because life's a great struggle, so we have to work hard for our maintenance. But if some of that was sacrificed for the Brahmins and for the Yajnas like that, that was the charity, you know. That dana purified the household. So, and then Prabhupada said also about Grihastha life, he said, what is the meaning of Grihastha life without children? Saintly children. This is another valuable service that Grihastras offer, that they raise Krishna conscious children. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said one time, he said, I would consider my whole mission to Gaudiya Math, in which he invested most of his life and all of his energy. He said, I would consider the whole effort a success if I made just one pure devotee. Because one pure devotee, we've seen what one pure devotee can do. Srila Prabhupada came to the Western country. He ignited the whole fire of Krishna consciousness around the world, one pure devotee. So, but it's not easy to raise children. It's a burden of love. The burden of love. It's not easy, but it's an investment. And if those children are conceived properly, to the Gapadam Shamskara, means, for us that means before conception chanting Hare Krishna, and then following the Shamskaras actually throughout the youth of the child. There's the samskara. Actually, I don't know because I'm a sannyasi, but there's some samskaras there that you do at birth, and there's the name giving and the hair cutting and the start school and upanaya and all that. Mm-hmm. That's all followed. Gopal Bhatt Goswami wrote extensively on this different samskaras like this. Then that gives the child a very nice environment for becoming Krishna conscious. And Prabhupada told us one time in Detroit, he said, the children of your children, they will be the pure devotees. He could see where we were at, so. He said, then one time he said to us also in Chicago, he said, the best will come last. I couldn't understand what he saw. The best will come last. That's all of you who have come. So, raising children like that, a great investment in those children. We've seen that, of course, in our society now, a number of the children have kind of got off the track. But I think that was also due to the instability of the movement in the beginning. Now the movement is much more stable. We have our centers, we have our communities, we have our financial basis, which is basically the devotees working. And so I think that in a nice home environment where the children are raised in Krishna consciousness, there's a good chance that they can become exalted devotees. I think we'll see that with your children specifically. Even if they're not able to go to the Gurukul, because there's not that many Gurukuls actually operating now for various reasons. But my experience is that if the home environment's not good and the child goes away to the Gurukul, no matter how good the Gurukul is, the child remains disturbed. Whereas if the home environment is very strong, if the child even goes to a karmi school, he remains Krishna conscious. Of course, the ideal situation would be a nice household environment and a good gurukul, but that historically we're not at that point yet. So I think that, you know, we have a young Vaishnava coming in a couple of months here, and this is a very nice household here. I'm not just speaking in physical terms, but I know both of you, so I'm sure that the child will be brought into a very wonderful, stable Krishna conscious environment, and will have a very nice Krishna conscious training, and will be a great asset to our Krishna conscious movement. So these are some of the duties of the grihastras. I wasn't so good at it myself, so I can't comment too much. But I do often say that last year I met a couple on the airplane, and they were 92 years old, and they were married when they were 18. So how many years is that? 18 from 92. 74. Yeah, they were just going to Australia to celebrate the 75th wedding anniversary. So I said, I hope I can live to be 75, married to 75. So I said, you know, how did you do it? And they both replied simultaneously, because the way we were seating, that I was in the middle seat and they were either side of me. So they were chatting, they were both hard of hearing because they were so old. They were like talking so loudly between me. Finally, I just had to intervene and try to make it something Krishna conscious as best I could. So I just asked various questions, and I asked, you know, how long have you been married? 74 years, and the 75th. And I said, wow. I said, how did you do it? So they both said at the same time, like one year later, you have to give more than you take. And I thought that was a really nice advice for not only for marriage, but any loving relationship. Because Krishna consciousness is all about loving relationships. That's why we came to Krishna consciousness, because for the loving relationships between God, between Guru, and between the Vaishnavas, this is meant to be a loving society. So how to build on those loving relationships? You have to give more than you take. And I was thinking about the other day, the perfect example of a loving relationship is the gopis of Vrindavan. Because Prabhupada said in one lecture, the gopis, they never asked Krishna for anything. They never demanded anything of God. They just, well, service, of course, that we have the right to ask for, because we're created for that purpose. So we are asking. We're saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, my dear Lord, my dear energy, the Lord, Srimati Radharani, please reinstate me in my devotion. That's all I ask. Madanama janam nasundariyam kavicham vajagadishakamayam. Mama janmani jaman ishar bhavatad bhakti ahiti. I don't even want liberation. I'm prepared to stay here if you so desire. But please always engage me in your service. Because if you're happy by that service, then naturally I'll be content and happy as well. So that mood is exemplified in the gopis. And of course it's exemplified in the character of any pure devotee. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we hear from Sanatana Goswami the different levels of devotional service by visiting different devotees in their abodes. And they're all pure, they're all selfless, but at the same time we recognize the exalted love of the gopis, which is free from any tint of selfish desire, everything for Krishna. So that's the highest standard of love, but that's the nature of love, that you give more than you take. And it works in any loving relationship. Spiritual master and disciple, you give more than you take. Of course, we can't really pay the debt of our guru, he's giving us so much, but we try to give as much as we can, as much service as we can. In friendship, we have friends. It's very important to have friends in Krishna consciousness, peers with equal status of us. It's very important. So in that friendship also, we try to develop that relationship by serving, by giving more than we take from. And the same formula works in motherhood. Of course, you can't expect much from the baby anyway in the beginning, because they're just getting stolen urine. But it's an investment, because in the future, like Dhruva Maharaj's mother experienced. Dhruva Maharaj was raised by his mother and he became an exalted devotee, and it came time, end of his life, he was going back to Godhead, and he was on his way, and he said, where's Mata? And the Vishnuvita said, well, she's not like qualified yet. So he said, stop the airplane. I'm not going back without my mother. Not that he was attached in the sense like my mom, but she was the one who gave him the direction how to get back to Godhead. She said, he said, look, I want something from God. So where do I find him now? So she was a simple lady, but she said, well, I know that all the yogis are living in the forest. They've gone to the forest to find God. So her logic was, maybe God lives in the forest. So he went there, and then he achieved his perfection, of course. So anyway, that's why it's when we hear that the child's a boy, everyone's very happy in Vedic culture. A boy, we like the girls, of course, but the boy means that, you know, if that boy is actually, even if the girl becomes a pure devotee, it's the same principle. Then the parents are all like Prahlad. The Sringadev told Prahlad. Prahlad was worried. Look at my dad. What happened to my dad? She said, "Don't worry, because you're a pure devotee. 10 generations before and 10 generations yet to come, they'll all be delivered by your mercy." So, having children is beneficial for us, beneficial for the whole society. And that's important. So these giving more than we take, this is a nice form. I saw it work. They were a very happy couple, and they weren't even devotees, but they were religious people, of course. So what to speak of applying that same philosophy. It is our philosophy in bhakti that we, kaitava dhamma means to take from God more than you give. That's kaitava, cheating religion. You go and you put some little contribution in the hundi and you ask for some, you know, fabulous wealth or, you know, some miracle or something like that. Kaitava dharma. And bhakti means to give more than you take. And pure bhakti means to ask for nothing. Like the book.